Alaska Air Group announces cuts in capacity and employees. An Aeroflot Nord 737 is down in central Russia. And the FAA review of the Eclipse TC is over. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 15th, 2008. Employees of Alaska Airlines and Horizon Air found it tough to enjoy their weekend, especially those at the low end of the seniority scale. Alaska Air Group announced it's reducing its capacity by 8% from a year ago, effective with the start of its winter schedule November 9th and continuing into next year. With the change will come a workforce reduction of 9 to 10%. Bill Ayer, chairman and CEO of Alaska Air Group, explained, quote, "The 1-2 punch of record oil prices and a softening economy, on top of increased competition, has burdened Alaska Air Group with a $50 million loss on an adjusted basis for the first half of this year. That demands decisive action to ensure the viability of our company. We're changing our schedule to make sure we're flying the right routes with the right frequency and right aircraft. Regrettably, a reduced schedule means we need fewer employees," unquote. In a nutshell, the reductions will come from canceling low-demand flights on Saturdays and holidays, reducing flights in many markets served by multiple flights per day, replacing Alaska's 737s with smaller Horizon Q400 turboprops on some flights between Portland, Oregon and the San Francisco area, and ending seasonal flights between San Francisco and three destinations in Mexico. You can find more detail in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Alaska says it's working with unions to offer early out programs and leaves of absence ranging from 6 months to 2 years to minimize the number of involuntary furloughs. 75 managers and 94 pilots will be among those affected. Details are sketchy so far out of Russia, but early reports have an Aeroflot Nord 737 down in central Russia, with 75 passengers and a crew of six lost. Emergency Situations Ministry spokeswoman Irina Andrianova told the Associated Press the flight originated at Moscow's Sheremetyevo Airport and went down about 3:40 a.m. local time Sunday on approach to land at Perm. She added there was no evidence so far of a terrorist attack. There are no reports of damage or deaths on the ground. Perm is about 750 miles east of Moscow. So far, all investigators have to go on is that contact with the plane was lost on approach at about 3,600 feet. An emergency official in Perm told AP the plane crashed on railroad tracks in a mostly unpopulated area, but within a few dozen meters of an apartment building. Aeroflot Nord is one of two regional airlines affiliated with Aeroflot. Watch for updates on aero-news.net as we wait for additional details. The FAA agreed Friday to act on the recommendations of a team that reviewed the certification of the Eclipse 500 Very Light Jet. The team found that the airplane was certificated in accordance with safety regulations, but that the agency could improve policies and communication procedures used in certifying future VLJs. Acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill said the review team, which was headed by former Boeing executive Jerry Mack, issued recommendations including revisions to Advisory Circular 23/1309-1C for equipment, systems, and installations in Part 23 airplanes to address the emergence of turbine engine airplanes weighing 6,000 pounds or less. Sturgill said the lessons learned from one of the first certifications of a new type of aircraft will help the agency as it examines about eight other VLJ certification applications currently pending before the FAA. The review was prompted by concerns raised by FAA inspectors represented by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Eclipse has said it will not comment. The company still faces an upcoming hearing before the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee regarding the concerns that prompted the FAA review. Hurricane Ike quickly lost intensity and became a massive tropical storm after moving north from the Gulf Coast of Texas and Louisiana, but travel plans have not yet recovered. Houston Hobby Airport was reported without commercial AC power on Saturday after the passage of the storm, and airport spokeswoman Marlene McClinton told the Houston Chronicle that Hobby got away with a few broken windows and some water leaks, but no major damage. The most severe damage reported at Bush International Airport, about 30 miles north of downtown Houston, may have been at the Sheraton Hotel North Houston, about a mile from the terminal. The hotel had its atrium roof and lobby damaged. A number of TV reporters were based there for storm coverage and showed millions of viewers the aftermath Saturday morning. The hotel is closed for at least a few days. Both airports announced they would resume limited operation today. Southwest Airlines, which is based in Houston, has canceled some flights in the region through the end of this week and is offering customers the chance to rebook for travel within 14 days at no extra charge. Check your flight's status with your airline before you head to the airport if you're traveling anywhere in the region this week. Up next on ANN, unions tank yet another deal for Alitalia. Another weekend, another bankrupt airline. And the Aeroshell aerobatic team gets a new interim leader. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 15, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. In a case of headline deja vu, Italy's national airline, Alitalia, has lost another buyer to stubborn unions. Bloomberg reports an investor group led by Roberto Colaninno is the latest to walk away after unions blocked his takeover bid because it would cut pay in too many positions. Alitalia, which has been in receivership since last month, may now have to cease operations. Colaninno had proposed cutting 3,250 jobs and basing pay rates on job performance. After meeting with unions for 7 days, he said, quote, "There aren't conditions to continue negotiations," unquote. Colaninno added that Alitalia's unions, quote, "don't seem to realize what a dramatic situation Alitalia is in," unquote. The buyout offer has not been formally withdrawn, but no further talks are scheduled. Labor Minister Maurizio Sacconi commented, quote, "Alitalia won't be able to operate much longer if there aren't new developments," unquote. In addition to the job cuts, Colaninno's so-called Phoenix plan included selling off Alitalia's money-losing subsidiaries and merging with rival Italian carrier Air One. The latest impasse follows the earlier collapse of a buyout bid from Air France KLM, which was derailed not only by unions, but by meddling politicians upset that the airline could lose its Italian character and identity. It's been another weekend of stranded vacationers as yet another airline suddenly folded on Thursday. British vacation carrier XL Airways entered receivership on Thursday, stranding thousands of passengers from Florida to Greece. Passenger David Emery got on an XL flight but told Orlando's WESH TV, quote, "They took us off the plane and two police cars turned up and stopped the plane from driving off," unquote. Unite, Britain's largest labor union, says the airline's employees were also blindsided. Unite National Officer Brian Boyd commented, quote, "Airlines that are struggling in the present climate are treating their workforce and the trade unions representing them with contempt. As recently as this week, representatives from Unite were discussing a wage claim with XL. It is appalling that employees have been left to hear of their fate through the media," unquote. Unite represents hundreds of workers at XL and says it will now pursue the bankrupt company for payments for its members. Unite says it will also be seeking urgent discussions with company officials on the future for XL employees. The Aeroshell aerobatic team announced on Friday the addition of Brian Regan as its newest member. Regan, who's a former team lead for the Red Baron Pizza Squadron, will be stepping in to fill the role of Aeroshell team lead Alan Henley. He suffered severe neck and head injuries July 22nd when a chin-up bar he was using gave way, resulting in an awkward fall. Regan expressed appreciation for the opportunity and acknowledged the difficult circumstances. Quote, "While Alan fights his battle to recover, it's a great feeling to jump in and help this team keep going. I'm looking forward to the experience. We'll just take it one show at a time," unquote. Regan made his Aeroshell team debut at the North Georgia Transportation Expo Air Show in Rome, Georgia over the weekend. He flew with the Red Barons for 11 years, holding the lead position from 2003 until the team was discontinued last year. A Defense Department task force charged with reviewing embarrassing oversights in the handling of nuclear weapons materials has recommended the Air Force Space Command be redesignated as Air Force Strategic Command and be home to the service's nuclear mission. Former Defense Secretary James Schlesinger was in charge of a review panel and discussed the results with reporters last week. The new command would be a major command and oversee all of the U.S. Air Force's assets from missiles to bombers, known as the Schlesinger Panel. The task force came into being as a result of revelations that the Air Force mistakenly sent nuclear missile components to Taiwan in 2006 and inadvertently had flown nuclear weapons cross-country from Minot Air Force Base, North Dakota, to Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana, in 2007. Schlesinger says the service has to change its culture because Air Force interest in the nuclear mission has atrophied. Quote, "This goes back to the disestablishment of the Strategic Air Command in 1991. As a result, the nuclear mission has been underfunded. There is a shortage of security personnel. There is a shortage of maintenance people. There is a shortage of those who supervise the nuclear establishment, and there has been a very noticeable lack of nuclear expertise," unquote. Schlesinger notes the Air Force has 180 corrective actions in the works. Quote, "The real question is whether there will be follow-through on what is now being said," unquote. Still ahead, an American war hero passes quietly. How do Canadian airline flyers rate more rights than U.S. flyers? And imagine you're flying a C-17 on 3 Mile Final to McMurdo Station. In the dark, you're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 15th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. First, before we go any further, ANN learned over the weekend that Ed W. Tuttle Freeman passed away on August 20th. Ed was an American hero who was once a captain, U.S. Army Company A, 229th Assault Helicopter Battalion, 1st Cavalry Division. He served in Korea and Vietnam, and at a long-overdue ceremony in 2001, received the Medal of Honor. On November 14, 1965, a heavily engaged American infantry battalion at Landing Zone X-Ray in the Ia Drang Valley in Vietnam was suffering some of the heaviest casualties of the war and was nearly out of ammunition. When the infantry commander closed the helicopter landing zone due to intense direct enemy fire, Captain Freeman flew his unarmed helicopter through a gauntlet of enemy fire, not once, but 14 times. He delivered critically needed ammunition, water, and medical supplies, and evacuated an estimated 30 seriously wounded soldiers. The time and the events were immortalized in a book and later a 2002 movie called We Were Soldiers. Ed's part was played by actor Mark McCracken. Sadly, heroes themselves cannot be immortal. Godspeed, Captain Freeman. Kate Hennai of FlyersRights.org wants to know, if Canada's air travelers are good enough for consumer protection legislation, why not U.S. citizens? As we reported on Friday, Canada's flight rights program requires domestic airlines to prominently display terms and conditions of carriage at their business offices and on their websites. While critics in Canada say the plan doesn't go far enough, Kate says it's already way ahead of the protections offered airline customers in the EU and the US. She adds that under the new law, Canadian airlines will also be required to provide stranded travelers with updated flight delay and schedule change information, and meal and hotel vouchers for extended delays of 4 and 8 hours, respectively. Quote, "The House of Commons has 308 members. Our Senate has 100. Canada was able to get 308 members to agree on a common-sense law to protect their flying public in less than 8 months. Our coalition has been working with Congress for 16 months, and we can't even get a majority to agree. This underscores the degree of partisan politics and the enormous influence of big airlines with deep pockets on our system," unquote. Passengers' rights provisions proposed in Congress have been attached to other stalled bills, which have fallen victim to squabbling about air traffic control modernization and FAA funding. Most of those provisions would allow U.S. airlines to strand passengers for up to 3 hours before allowing them to deplane. That's twice the 90-minute maximum now set by the Canadian law. A C-17 Globemaster III crew from McCord Air Force Base made aviation history Thursday, performing the first known after-dark landing on the Pegasus ice runway near McMurdo Station in Antarctica using night vision goggles. That's really significant when night lasts about half the year. Until now, night landings on the runway were done only in emergencies, with 55-gallon drums of kerosene set afire as landing lights. Ask any environmentalist, or for that matter any economist, why that's a bad idea. Major Corey Simmons, an evaluator pilot with McCord's 62nd Operations Support Squadron and one of the pilots on the mission, said there are several reasons the National Science Foundation may need strategic airlift during winter months. Quote, "One, off the top of my head, would be a contingency operation where someone is sick or hurt down here during the winter, over months when they have complete darkness for 4.5 months. We have the capability now to get them out," unquote. The test made use of 64 high-intensity retroreflective cones placed on the runway edge, a technique used previously for night operations in less hostile environments. Simmons says the cones are visible on final from 2 or 3 miles out. He adds, quote, "The National Science Foundation is going to be able to get in year-round and do specific science experiments that they've never been able to do before. So the fact that 18 months of planning and tests and hard work finally put that C-17 on the ground is definitely worth all the effort we put into it," unquote. And finally, the customer relations death wish of most domestic airlines in the U.S. has obvious downsides for travelers. Isn't it time it also provided the opportunity to win valuable prizes? We already get nasty emails from friends of the airlines over our coverage of the once proud industry. Today ought to set some kind of a record. Cartoonist Wes Olszewski, who draws the Clyde Morris cartoons on our website, wants your best impersonation of everyone's favorite French Renaissance pharmacist, seer, and writer of four-line poetry. From today's strip, quote, "Another Clyde Morris contest. In this one, you get to be Nostradamus. Just pretend it's the 16th century and write down your own quatrain that predicts the airlines will become really stupid and email it to us," unquote. Wes promises winners a highly prized Clyde Morris iced tea glass. You can find the comic strip with the email address for entries today at www.aero-news.net. You airline management types can look in the same place to find contact info for the next round of nasty emails. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Or, as we say in Quatrain, today, a Monday like the rest, brings you Bob Miller as my guest, a CFI on safety bent whose monthly rants by web are sent. I recently completed a flight review with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We flew over Niagara Falls. I didn't know you could still do that after 9/11. What are some other flight seeing opportunities we might be missing? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.